What's going on, guys? Hey, it's Steve Oltley with Freight Waves. I'm here in Chattanooga, Tennessee, in the Freight Waves headquarters in the What the Truck booth. Today is January 2nd, 2020. This is going to be, I guess, the second episode that I've done, and we're starting a new year, so I'm going to try to be optimistic about the new year in terms of freight and trucking and logistics and how it's going. I don't know. So we had I'll start off with the Christmas vacation. I had fun. It was a lot of driving. We drove all the way up and down the coast to see family and all that. And that was fun. But in terms of news and in terms of trucking and in terms of everything else, I mean, we had three different trucking companies closed down, affecting, I believe it was close to 500 trucks and 500 drivers. We had truckstop.com suffer a ransomware attack and completely go dead, you know, which affected hundreds of thousands of drivers that were utilizing, you know, truckstop.com's platform to try to find freight during that holiday. There was, you know, just those two things were kind of, you know, it made it for someone that actually, you know, lives and breathes logistics and thinks about it a lot. It sucked. It wasn't something that I liked. So, but at any rate, if you don't know who I am, my name is Steve. This is my second show on Freight Waves. I am a freight broker. I pretty much just talk about anything freight related from a different perspective. I have a carrier first perspective, being that I was a carrier and was a fleet owner and was a driver before I got on into the brokering side of things. So what I like to do normally is cover news. I'm very audience engaged. So if you have comments, just go ahead and write comments. I try to read them from all the different social media platforms. But go ahead and just put a comment in. I'll answer your questions live if I can. But first I'm just going to run through I talked about the trucking companies. So we have GDS Express, which had 75 drivers. I believe they shut down December 27th. We have Georgia commercial shuttle service with 55 employees, and they cited rising insurance costs as one of the main factors for them closing. You had a big one that we reported on here at Freight Waves, Texas flatbed carrier Fleetwood Transportation closes 252 trucks. So they shut down. And they sent notice out to their carriers or to their drivers on December 17th, I believe, and basically said, effective December 31st, we're done. They also cited insurance, you know, a raise in their insurance costs. And then ultimately the insurance producer said, hey, listen, we're not even going to be able to cover you. And they were unable to get insurance from anywhere else. So they you know, just decided to close. I'm not sure of the levels on self-insuring. I thought, you know, it was 100 trucks and you could self-insure. But they chose just to close down, which is I mean, it's kind of sad, you know, with that. We had a lot of trucks, a lot of trucking companies, a lot of drivers that all had to go off of the road, and a lot of people that were affected by, you know, just poor rates and all the other issues that surround the logistics industry right now. And it kind of sucks. It, you know, no matter which way you look at it, it really sucks. It sucks to be a broker in the industry as well, because there's only so much I can do, because I still have to make a living. So I can't pay more on every single load. I know most drivers would say, oh no, brokers make too much of money anyway. Well, that's kind of not true, but I'm not going to get into that too much right now. I'm more going to talk about, you know, the industry and hopefully what we can do. And we've got some challenges. Rates were pretty bad in 2019. So we have some challenges in store for next year, or for this year now. So, you know, with the truckstop.com ransomware attack, I believe they just announced it was a ransomware attack a couple of days ago. Although most people, you know, they did say it was a malware attack. Most people knew what was going on. But it leaves me to think about something that I think all drivers need to, anyone who utilizes truck stop and truck stop only, meaning if you're not diversifying yourself and saying, okay, I have truck stop and I have that, or I have truck stop and I have a different load board, or I have, you know, whatever you do, if you rely solely on one company to provide some, especially in a tech enabled company, crap happens all the time. Load boards go down. the drivers that were sitting there and saying, oh, I can't get a load out. I only have truck stop. I don't have anything else. It's, I mean, granted, it sucks. You know, there was a software crash and all that stuff. And who knows what's going to happen down the line with what they discover from this ransomware attack. But I'm saying, if you're putting all your eggs in one basket, you can't really fault. There's so many people on social media right now that are being super critical of Truckstop, saying that they should get full refunds and this and that because they weren't unable to move freight and they were unable to do this. And ultimately, that's the responsibility of the driver to have multiple ways to find freight. It's not just you wouldn't work with just one broker because you're going to end up getting the same loads and the same rates, and unless you're really happy with them, you're probably not going to do that. You're going to try to diversify your book and try to do, you would have to do that with the load boards as well, you know. But as I read earlier today, I believe truckstop.com is mostly up. I do know some brokers aren't fully integrating yet because they're waiting to see what actually happened with Truckstop and see what risks are still apparent, but I think the truckstop.com platform is up, both mobile and desktop. And hopefully some of the drivers that are out there that were affected by this understand that, hey, a ransomware attack is kind of out of their control. There's nothing they could do. They didn't say, oh, we're going to screw over all these drivers at Christmas and just shut down our computers. It doesn't work that way. That's not the way a ransomware attack works. It's not Truckstop saying, hey, I'm going to do this. You know, they were victims of something and to be honest, they did a pretty good job of picking everything up and being transparent about everything going, you know, for all the updates and all that. But anyone that was affected by this, anyone that was driving and said, oh, I can't find any loads or anything like that, you guys should already be signed up for the other load board. Just in addition to, because then you could find freight. If something happens, you can find freight. It's kind of simple, but, you know, some people don't necessarily understand that. I will, we could see I have some viewers from my previous show. I'll get to these questions here in a second. But the next little bit of news, I don't have a lot of news today because there's so many you know, trucking shutdowns, and everyone on social media has seen the Amazon truck that got blown over by the wind. And there's just another tractor trailer that flipped this morning in Georgia. And I believe it took out 10 cars in a quick check parking lot. I'm not sure, but there's not a lot of happy news. I didn't really want to cover too much. You know, we just got done with Christmas and New Year's. I drove 10 hours up here today. I'm driving back home tomorrow, hanging out with my family, and then driving back up for next week. So I'm tired of traveling. I'm tired of driving. I wanted to make this video because the next portion that I'm going to talk about is pretty important. But before that, the last news that I am going to talk about is J.B. Hunt acquired a mass base RD. I may have messed that up. They acquired a RDO. I think it was RDI last mile. Basically, J.B. Hunt acquired another final mile delivery service, which was a mass base company, which expanded their, I guess, white glove delivery network to 104 locations and 3.2 million square foot of warehousing. And I think that's very important just to bring up because all the information about FedEx that's been going on about whether FedEx is going to shutter or who's going to buy FedEx, whether it's going to be Walmart or Shopify or, as I believe, Amazon or any of those other companies, and Amazon offering white glove and all that. There's still companies like J.B. Hunt that are out there and saying, nope, this is our space. We're going to try to absorb as much as we can of it, which is pretty good. You know, I used to do the white glove delivery stuff. I didn't like it. It wasn't fun. Yes, you can make money, but you got to make 40, you know, 20, 30, 40 stops a day and inside deliveries and all that. It's not fun stuff. All right. So the next segment I'm going to talk about today, because I just went on a tear for a little bit, is I'm going to talk about the challenges that we're going to face this year with 2020. Everyone, and I mean the challenges in trucking, you know, if anyone's watched my shows, even though it's Freight Broker Live, I am your favorite freight broker. I'm not really just geared towards freight brokers and geared towards carriers as well. And I think a lot of these actually have more to do with carriers than they do with brokers. Granted, you can look into it further and say, oh, it does have stuff to do with brokers because of capacity and shortages and blah, blah, blah. But the first main challenge is it may be resolved. You know, I don't know. I made a video, when was it, yesterday night or the night before, about AB5. So I put a quick video up on social media and it quickly got a bunch of views. And then we broke the article as well that AB5 is, you know, a judge in California issued a temporary restraining order against the state from basically enacting AB 5, which started on January 1st for truck drivers. So basically, I have the article up. Let me find the article. I'm not prepared. Why? Let me get here. So, you know, the case was brought by the California Trucking Association. And the judge basically said the judge ordered the state not to enforce any AB 5 action against a motor carrier in California pending a final resolution lawsuit brought by the CTA. The hearing is going to be July 13th. So basically what the judge found is that this law unjustly affects owner operators, or he didn't find, but he found that there's evidence to have an initial hearing. He actually said something. I'm trying to find the order and I can't find it, but he said something that in another part of his ruling, the judge said that the plaintiffs, carriers, are likely to succeed in the merits. He also ruled that the restraining order is called for because the plaintiffs are likely to suffer irreparable harm in the absence of relief, and relief is in the public's best interest. So it's pretty interesting. And the reason why that's very important, one, because 70,000 truck drivers in California are affected by this. Most of them have already been affected. You know, I know that the big motor carriers all said already, hey, you guys need to pack up and bounce elsewhere or become, you know, do whatever you got to do. But it's all over the place. But I'm not going to be opinionated. It's one of those laws that I think that was pushed out pretty quick. Now you have other states, Jersey and New York, they're both following suit with that, which is kind of one of the issues, that we have. And then another story that's pretty important, and it's the drug clearinghouse. And to be honest, on a personal level, I don't know how I feel about it too much. I don't think that there's any problem with random drug tests. I do think there's a problem with paying these drivers that have to do the random drug tests and all that stuff. So basically, now there's a federal drug clearinghouse. I believe it goes into effect January 6th of this year, where all drivers, all new hires are going to have to be vetted through this drug clearinghouse, where a company owner has to go in and log to see whether or not a driver has failed a drug test or whether the driver and record is in there. Within the next 3 years, it's going to be active. States have a 3-year exemption where they can, you know, take up to 3 years to comply with this. Drivers have to do it. Independent owner operators have to do it. It's just another one of those, the headaches that people in trucking don't necessarily want to deal with. But then I think it was December 17th or December 27th, the FMCSA or USDOT took it a step up and said, because in 2018, the people that actually tested positive for drugs went over a 1% threshold. Now, instead of doing the random drug test for 25% of the driver population, they're upping that to 50% of the driver population. Me, on a personal level, I understand it. I understand it. I think it stinks. It's going to affect a lot of drivers. Granted, going and getting the drug test, they're like $40. It's not super expensive, but when you incorporate all the time that's lost to drop your load, to deadhead over to go, you know, go take the drug test, and then, you know, send in all your paperwork and all that stuff, it adds up. It adds up. It's time that you can't spend driving, and you have to be on duty for it, so you're just burning the hours, and it's a problem. Plus, you're usually not getting compensated for that time, you know, unless you're a company driver. If you're an owner operator, you're certainly not getting compensated to have to go and do a random. I think most drivers now are subject to 2 to 3 to 4 times. So this is just going to increase it per year. It just seems like on the national average, drivers are pulled in 2 or 3 times per year, randomly selected. And now with the reporting with the drug clearinghouse, it's going to be pretty interesting to see what happens and what happens to our driver capacity, or our capacity abundance now, and our driver shortage, and what's going to happen when even more drivers are no longer able to drive because they have a failed drug test and are no longer hireable by anybody else. It's going to be interesting. I'm kind of curious to see what it's going to be like in the long run, but it's also something that has to happen because people are out there using drugs. I mean, we report on it almost every day. Some truck drivers driving intoxicated or other people are, and it's just, it's sad. It's something that needs to be fixed, and hopefully we can do it pretty quick. And then another, there's a bunch of other IMO 2020, which you're not seeing lasting effects from. This basically is the ocean vessels, ships and everything. They now need to go to a much lower sulfur fuel product because of this IMO 2020 regulation, and which is they speculate it's going to take into the, or it's going to, they're going to tap into the diesel storages, raising the price of diesel and all that stuff. I don't know. I don't see a rise in diesel prices now. This just went into effect yesterday, so I may be a little bit premature. I think I did see that they're calling for up to 30 cents per gallon for an increase in diesel pricing because of this. I don't know. So that's just one of those things that everyone has to keep an eye on. And then there, another one of the big issues that I think people have to just keep in the back of their head is about insurance. You know, we have two out of three carriers that shut down. And these are only carriers that we reported on. Who knows how many small carriers there were that just decided, hey, I enjoy spending time with my family. I'm not going back out on the road. It's too hard out there. You know, but these two carriers that we reported on cited rising insurance costs and being basically unable. And these are big fleets, 55 and 250 trucks that just decided they can't pay the insurance anymore and had to go out. And there is this proposed law that's going around in the government now to raise the minimum liability rates up to $5 million or $4.75 million or something. It's tough out there to be a driver. You know, it's tough. It's tough. So I think those are the main focuses. Another one is just a digitization of the freight industry in general. If you look at about all the digital freight brokers and you look at all the different software apps and tracking and you know, time at docks and things like that and all the different apps and technology that's available, I almost think we're in the point of tech overload right now where too many drivers are stuck trying to figure out which apps to use and which software to use and which digital freight broker is the better one to use. Do I go book a load with Uber? Do I go book a load with Convoy? Do I go book a load with this guy? And trying to find out the best balance for it. And I think that it's just going to get worse. There's going to be more companies coming in and trying to grab a piece of that market because trucking and logistics is a good industry, no matter how you look at it. As someone that's been in it for a long time, it's hard and it's not exactly a friendly industry. But if you can make it and you can do well in it, it's a pretty good one. You know, and one of the main things that I touched on before with software and all that is you have to make sure that you have all the tools that you need in order to maximize your profitability as a carrier, as a trucking company, as whatever. You know, Craig, the owner of FreightWaves, recently wrote an article. I think it was yesterday. He wrote an article, and I guess this goes for the brokers. Actually, it does go for the brokers or the people that are out there looking to get into the brokerage industry. And you can find it on FreightWaves.com. It was 12 tips for the freight brokerage starting a broker and how to be successful doing it. And they're pretty helpful. It's a helpful article for anyone that's out there that's thinking about getting into the industry. It pretty much outlays all the 12 major steps that you need to do in order to take to be a broker. And being honest and being right and being truthful are all very important steps in that too. It's crazy. It's crazy. The whole industry, the next step, cause I'm just going to read all the comments and stuff, for now, cause I'm long winded and I've talked too fast, but, one of the most important things, and we learned this from the truck stop, outage, you know, drivers, and granted, it's a load board. So brokers use it as well. Shippers use it. Direct shippers, also the ones that only use those, you know, truck stop or the associated load boards, real time freight and all that. They weren't able to do anything either. They weren't able to move any freight. They weren't able to book any freight. There was issues with factoring and all that stuff. And that's why I was saying diversify your toolbox. Make sure you have different load boards. Make sure you have different systems in place so that you can run rates, so that you can book loads, so that you can do everything. As I've mentioned a million times, me as a broker, I use three different things to run my rates, to run my spot quotes. I use the DAT rate index or whatever it is on DAT. I use the truckload rate index or the truck stop, you know, rating tool. And then I use previous lien data. And just because I am a FreightWaves employee and I wanted to broadcast this out, everyone out there needs to seriously, I don't care whether you buy it, I don't care whether you believe me, I don't care whether you like the show or not. If you're looking for a something that would help you just be better in the industry, would help you understand the industry a bit better, would help you understand the rate progressions and where rates are going to be a month from now, or what the market's going to look like, and stay in updated with all the news and all that, you need to either send me an email at soatley@freightwaves.com, or, you know, just demo our sonar product, because it's very elaborate. It's the predictive rating tool. You know, I'm not doing a good job of saying what it is now, but as someone that uses all, like I said, I use the DAT, I use Truck Stop, I use all my lane data, I kind of put it all together. That gives me the carrier rate on what I'm going to pay a carrier, and then I add my margin. They figured out with the predictive rating tool how to take all those steps and just put it into one step, and then you just add the margin after, and it's already built in there. And it allowed me, as when I first was doing my demos and all my tests on it, to see if it was accurate enough for me to talk about it. It's very accurate, and it's very on point. And that's one of the things that I think is very important to anybody, is you need to utilize all the tools that you can. So if you're out there and you're quoting shipments and you're doing all that, if you're not utilizing every single tool, whether it's a sonar product or DAT or Truck Stop, and you're just kind of flying at the seat of your pants, you're going to end up being left behind in the long run. And even if you're not using rating tools and you're just using load boards, if you're only using one load board, you're going to be left behind when a load board crashes, because it happens. You know, we know that from the other load boards. Me as a broker, there was one other load board I'm not going to mention, but it seemed like every other day, you know, back in October, every other day that load board was down. There's nothing we could do about it. It was lagging out. There's nothing. We couldn't post loads. And even worse, when we had loads posted, we couldn't take down the loads because the load board was frozen. But that happened all the time. And it's something that, you know, you need to have multiple load boards so that you're able to do your job. And if you're a carrier, you need to just not say, oh, I'm only going to use Truck Stop because I pull flat and they have more flatbed freight. Because if Truck Stop goes down, so are you. You're not going to be able to do anything. And so that's very important. I've talked about that in nauseam. Let's read some of these comments here. This may be a quick show. So Craig said, hello. What's up, buddy? Craig's on YouTube. He said, no medals behind you. No. That's the old show. That's where I was doing it from my living room. I had all the powerlifting medals and all that stuff behind me. No more. Melissa said, what percentage as a broker do you take on each load? So this is a question everyone's going to love. So me, I was different than some of the other brokers out there. I was a volume broker. So I didn't focus as much on percentage as I focused on volume and how many shipments I could actually move in the day. Because for me, my rationale is I had very easy customers. I had the system already in place. I had all addresses already built in my system. I had everything. So I didn't need to focus too hard on like quoting things and trying to make as much money on each individual load, because I had everything already built. So my job was to turn and burn loads as quickly as I could. So I didn't focus as much on margin. You know, my average margin was like 4%. It was much lower than some of these other guys. I see Tommy here said 12.5%. I've made high margins on some loads, but for me, it was more important just to cover as many loads as I could to establish the relationship with the customer and build that relationship up. It did work. It didn't necessarily work the best way all the time, because then customers got used to cheaper rates. Carriers got, you know, used to cheaper rates sometimes too, and it wasn't the best situation, but it allowed me to cover a lot of freight. And more often than not, I was really working at a higher margin, or paying the carrier a higher margin, because I was taking less money on the back end. And I was also showing the customer savings. So I was able to move freight. And most of the carriers that were pulling the type of freight I had, it was dedicated stuff. So they knew exactly what it was. So there's that for the margins. I don't know. There's people here going bad before. I mean, the brokerage perspective is different. Eminem is asking about Truck Stop rate analysis. Yeah, so basically the truck stop and DAT have rating tools built into the systems. I don't know if it's based on subscription level, but you can run rates and you can do all that stuff. And that's they're accurate rates when you look at it from both perspectives. The way that I found that they were accurate as me as a broker running rates and doing all that stuff every day was I would take the DAT average, I would take the truck stop average, I would look at the previous lanes that I already had covered in that lane. It didn't matter whether it was a year in the past. And then I would sit and I'd average them all together and based on what I had. If I didn't have enough data, then I'd have to call, you know, start calling out carriers and finding out what they're going to charge just to be able to quote my customer. Once I had all that data in there and I was able to create a number, my sell rate to the carrier, I would add my margin based on it. But I'm simple. I do everything really quick. So I would add a flat rate margin. So I'd add like $50 for the load or $100 for the load. Or I had one customer that it was $50 for anything under $1,000 and it was $100 for anything over $1,000 in total freight spend. So a lot of times I'm moving a $4,000 load for $100. That's not great commission. A lot of brokers are going to be getting all mad at me for saying that. But the thing is I wanted to be able to pay the carrier as much as I could and have the customer not go and shop the loads with anybody else. And I was often being able to do that. But the thing about the predictive rating tool in Sonar is it takes all those steps and there's a lot more data into it. I'm not going to go into all the scientific data, but it takes all the steps that I did with the truck stop rates, with the DAT rates, with the lane averages and all that. And it takes actual rates and it can predict what the actual rate is going to be for that day. For, I believe it's that day, 7 days in advance. And 7 days, and I'll come back to it. 7 days in advance, 15 days, 30 days, blah, 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 all the way up to a year. I did have, when I posted this the other day on Facebook, someone did say, oh, you know, why would you ever need to run a rate in a year? Well, that's, and said I didn't have experience in the industry because why would I ever need to run a rate a year in advance? You need to know what the rate's going to be. If you're doing RFPs and all that stuff, you need to have a ballpark price. And if you utilize all the service, and I'm not even saying it's correct a year in advance. How am I going to know? How am I going to verify it's correct a year in advance? I have to wait a year to see if it's correct. But, you know, the technology is so advanced that I firmly believe, if anything, it'll provide a very good understanding for anyone that's out there trying to learn the business and learn how to quote things properly. And it just adds that other tool in your arsenal. You know, as I'm someone who believes you can never have too many tools in the shed. And this is one. I mean, this is like your legs. You kind of need it in order to be successful. And it's not just for brokers. It's not just for carriers. It's for shippers too. It's for the independent guy that's out there driving that wants to understand the market. And those things are very important. And I think a lot of people don't necessarily, they take it for granted. Let's see what some of these other. Orlando said, solution is not to take drugs or drive drunk. That's for the drug consortium thing. That is true. You know, if drivers weren't driving drunk and we wouldn't have crossed over that 1% threshold, it wouldn't have raised up to 50%. Here's my question though. And this is one that I was thinking when I drive. So I was driving up yesterday. I was listening to all the series shows and all of our podcasts and all that, cause I'm a nerd. So I was just listening to all the FreightWaves content on all the podcasts and everything that were available. And the question was raised that there has to be something that could be done to alleviate the need for a carrier who's been selected to do a random drug test to have to drop his trailer, go and pull into, or, you know, go find a drug testing facility and have a certain amount of time and have to lose all that time. I don't know why it's never been done before, but why doesn't pilot just hire an EMT to sit and watch someone take a UA and then send the test off? You could do that in every single facility. You don't even need to be an EMT, you know, but I think that's the lowest level. But you would think, because there's health clinics and all that, 3,000 plus different locations throughout the United States, but why don't they just integrate with truck stops? You would think that would be a brilliant solution, just to have a little medical clinic in each truck stop. So they would probably be very busy, and it would probably not be worth the time for anyone to actually set it up. But it's pretty crazy when you think about it. Ben said, now that I'm here. No, so I still broker freight. So I don't broker freight on a proactive basis, meaning I have agents that are doing it for now. But I'm still, it's Freight Broker Life. I have to still be involved in the freight brokerage business. Otherwise, it doesn't make sense. It's my passion. It's what I like. You know, I like staying. I listen to podcasts when I'm driving up of shows that I talk to these people every single day. But yet for 10 hours yesterday, I was listening to everything I missed during Christmas. You know, I read content. Last night, I was sitting there wondering how many carriers have filed for authority in 2019 versus how many carriers went out of business. Do we think, did more carriers file for authority than trucks left the road, including all these shutdowns and breakdowns? I would almost say yes, that there were more people deciding to get into the business than people that were exiting, whether or not they were exiting on their own behalf or, you know, the companies closed or bankruptcies or crime or crashes or whatever. I don't have that number. I'm trying to get it, but I would think that it's either there's more people trying to get into the industry or there's or it's very close. You know, I don't know, but it would just be interesting to find out. Rodney said, I hope I could start having watch parties every hour. I don't know what you mean. Elvis said, is 2020 going to be any better? It has to be, right? It has to be better. Rates are going to come up. I think we're going to have a rough Q1, just like everyone else says here, because we see it. If you use FreightWave sonar, you're going to be able to see it too. The trend lines are all where they are. They're all, you know, freight's going to come back. It's got to. The rate's got to be better. My personal prediction is that by July, everyone's going to be sitting pretty good. Do I think it's going to be 2017 or 2018 again? No. I don't know if we'll have that in a while. But I think rates will come up and they'll become a more manageable rate. I just don't think they are right now. I hope that, you know, something is done about detention and truck order not used and everything so that those rates can increase and become fluid when, you know, because if you look at diesel prices raised up. If you look at how much we're paying carriers as brokers every day, that price is very fluid. It goes up and down based on everything except the one standard accessorial charge that that drivers have to deal with every single day and are. I can't get opinionated. We need to do something about detention. That's all I'm going to say. I'm trying to not be opinionated here. But that's it. I don't really, I don't see a lot of questions. This may be a very short show. I don't see many questions here on this chat, although I don't even know if this chat's working properly. But yeah, I'm sorry if I got off, this slow. If I started off slow, I'm still trying to get used to the way that I do the show. But I like to do my show a little bit different. You know, I try to read the articles. I try to do everything. I try to give my insight. And it's 15 years of being a broker, being a carrier, being a driver, being a forklift operator, working in the industry. And someone that, for whatever reason, I can't really tell you why, but I actually like the industry. And I continue to like it. Do I get burned out? Sure. But I love the industry. I love being a part of freight and working in it every day. And so I'm thankful to be able to make videos and talk about it with everyone. If it's not your cup of tea, well, we have other programs here. We have What the Truck. That's awesome. We've got the Good Guy. What is it? Good Quarter Guys. That's coming up. We got Freight Waves Insiders. We got Port Report. We got all sorts of different content and plus all the content on freightwaves.com. That you're able to tune into all the time. The goal is to be able to reach everybody and tell everybody about the technology that's out there, not just with us, but other companies. That's a good thing about FreightWaves. I mean, there was an article the other day. It talked about the previous 100 years of trucking, and it made me so sad to think about it and to think about everything that's happened in the past, like, you know, year alone in trucking, and then to look at how far we've come in the past, you know, from 1920 to 2020. It's amazing. It's amazing when you actually sit there and think about it and look at it and go, holy cow. And maybe that's just because I'm still young at heart. And I think that, you know, I didn't see all those changes, but some of the stuff, I mean, trucks didn't even have lights 100 years ago. They didn't have lights on them when they're driving down the road. I know it sounds silly, but to me, that kind of stuff is fascinating. That's the kind of content that you find on FreightWaves. I know that we're starting a history where we're going to feature a company that's closed or even not that's closed, just an older company that's been around for a long time or started a long time ago and do the history of it. There's been a lot of new content about, you know, being a broker and being a good broker and how to do it and how to manage your business and health things. You know, there's a sleep apnea article today. So the goal with FreightWaves, I think, from me, and this is why I'm here, is to provide as much knowledge as they can about the industry and try to make it appealing again, make people like trucking, because I think the industry isn't necessarily as appealing as it could be. And that's it. Let me read some more of these questions and we'll go back, and then I'm probably just going to end this thing, 'cause I do, got stuff to do. The postman said, do I have any opinions, advice, or outlook on the auto transport sector? Now, I don't mean to laugh. Yeah, I do. I've worked in the auto transport sector, both as a carrier and a broker. The brokerage side of the auto transport sector, that's money. That's an easy job. That is, it's essentially automated, because all you do is you pay a company that provides you auto leads. Yeah, you're going to compete with like 20 other people that are all submitting those leads. You use a system, they sell them, they're, you know, like $300-$400 a month, basically takes it in, it auto quotes it out, and you hire a couple of people that answer the phones. You can easily make money without having any logistic knowledge. Now, should you do it? No. if you're going to get into the industry, work for somebody else. If you have no experience, work for somebody else first. Learn the industry the right way. If you can, spend time behind the wheel of a truck and understand what it's like to actually drive a truck and what it's like to actually feel that struggle. You know what I mean? Because I think that's a part of the issue that a lot of people don't. That's a disconnect between a broker. Well, not me, because I have time behind a wheel, but a different broker that may not have any time behind a wheel and a driver. Is the broker can't relate to someone that's sitting, you know, driving 10 hours a day, 7 days a week, away from his family, away from his, you know, his house, his bed, and all that stuff, and not being able to exercise. I don't know what, I barely can go a day without exercising. I don't know how I could do it full time. I would still have to exercise. Whatever. It's just, there's a disconnect between what a broker thinks the carrier is going through and what a carrier is actually going through. And if you're going to get involved in the industry, whether it's hauling cars, whether it's hauling flatbed stuff, whether it's CDL or non-CDL, straight truck, you know, 53-foot dry, you need to have the experience behind the wheel or in the experience working for a broker and seeing whether it's done the right way. There's too many brokers that are, or too many people out there that go out and file for authorities and become carriers or brokers and everything, and then say, okay, now what do I do? And that's a problem. And it's just, you're wasting money. You're wasting time. Or God, you know, you get a customer and then you don't even know how to handle it. I had a consulting client years ago that called me and said, hey, listen, I set up a brokerage. I got my first customer. I have a load. Now what do I do? They weren't even set up on load boards to book freight. They didn't know what they were doing. And the problem is they took a $3,000 course that didn't tell them that either. But that's the story for another section. I'm not going to jump on that. But the good part about cars, and depending on where you're dealing with, is there's cars everywhere. You know, when I had my dispatch company, I used to try to get all my flatbed or my hotshot trucks all to sign up with Central Dispatch, which is a load board for cars. It's probably one of the biggest well-known ones. I tried to get everybody to utilize those load boards because if they got to, say, they were in, you know, Pocatello, Idaho, and they couldn't find any freight there, most likely, I can almost guarantee, most likely there was a car within 100 miles that was going somewhere else. And is it going to pay great? Nope. It's probably going to pay like 30 cents a mile, 40 cents a mile, whatever. But it's going to decrease their deadhead. And I know you guys are saying 30 cents a mile, 40 cents a mile. It's based on 7 cars. So you have 7 cars at 40 cents per mile. Guess what? That's 210 a mile. Still not really that great of a rate, but whatever, blah, blah, blah. But you know what I'm saying. But the car business is an interesting one. As a broker, it's a very interesting one. And it's something that you could do to try to gain experience in the industry if you insist on jumping in before you have experience. Because being an auto broker is very, very easy. It's not that hard. It's very, very easy. And it's a good way to get into it if you want to. Chris said it's working. Eminem said you're good now. Just a slow start. Yeah, it's a slow start. Whatever. Ben said, make trucking great again. Yes, sir. Dory said, do I have a podcast? I do. I have all the old content that I made before, which is on iTunes and Google Play and everywhere else podcasts are by just searching Freight Broker Live. Fairly soon, probably today or tomorrow, whatever, this video or this podcast, because this will take the audio from it, will be made. And eventually, as I get more confident and all that stuff, the videos will hopefully get better. Because I apologize. I don't like reading when people are like, oh, it started slow. Well, of course it's going to. But whatever. I'm working on it. But if anyone ever wants to contact me, you have any questions, you want to talk about sonar, about pricing, and anything like that, send me an email. My email is soatley, S-O-A-T-L-E-Y, at freightwaves.com. If you have an idea you want me to talk. So here's the thing. I like to talk about everything in the industry. I have a different perspective than most. I say that all the time because I consider it like a disclaimer. You know, you see a show, you see a big guy, you're thinking Freight Broker Live. Oh, he's just going to talk about how he stiffs it to the carrier. No, I'm kind of the other way. I focus a lot more on the carrier versus the broker. And I try to, I think one of the most important things that I can do as someone that loves the industry is try to impress how important it is for everyone else to really only be in it if you love it. And which is why I make these podcasts, and which is why I make these videos, and why I do everything. So if you have a question, or you want me to talk about something, or you have a news story and you want me to write a story about it, or Freight Waves to cover it, contact me at soatley, S-O-A-T-L-E-Y, at freightwaves.com. And then we'll go from there. But I think with that, I'm just going to end this show because I'm tired of talking. And eventually the show will be better. I'll have water and stuff so I don't get all cotton mouthy in here. But Tuesdays and Thursdays, 2 o'clock to 3 o'clock Eastern time is when I'll be going live. And Franz, this guy's been watching my videos since the very beginning, and his favorite thing to say is lazy streamer. So anyone that's watching this now and you don't know who he is, you're going to see him a lot in my videos. But I'll see you guys later. Thanks.